Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we're with our friends from Feed, warming up in the background, and we have our, I haven't seen you in a while, Karen Mager.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
And talk a little about where Feed is. Feed's in Humboldt Park, and you work there today.
Yeah, it's at the corner of California and Chicago, right next to the Continental.
Yeah, and how long have you been at Feed?
I'm thinking about 8 to 10 years. I can't remember.
And how'd you start there?
A friend of mine, my coworker, worked there on the weekends, and so she asked if I wanted to pick up a brunch shift, so I did, and it's been 10 years later, and I'm still there.
And we were talking, describe the cuisine. I've seen it as a sugar shack, a chicken shack.
A chicken shack, yeah. Basically. But it's Southern American. It's got everything from rotisserie chicken. Everything's homemade from scratch. It's a scratch kitchen. It's got the best collard greens in the city.
Now, why do you say that?
They're just so tender and meaty, and it's like sometimes you get that big chunk of pork, it's like you won the collard green lottery. So it's a little bit of a, you got the collard greens, you got the pork. We've got some catfish that's dredged in cornmeal, deep fried. That's excellent as well. And then we have our brunch, which we get fried green tomato benedict, chicken fried steak, pulled pork hash, you name it.
I don't know if you heard the segment before. We were talking about, is there a difference between soul food and Southern food?
I think just a smidge, depending on some of the cuisines. Sometimes we get some people calling in and asking if we have chitlins. We don't have that kind of stuff, but we have everything else from, the fried green tomato benedicts, the fried green tomatoes, the chicken, the pulled pork, all that good fare.
A lot of good vegetable sides.
Yeah, the succotash.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly the
macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Cheese grits.
Wait, so you've been there for 10 years. What year did Feed open?
I think it was 2006.
I actually remember that when I moved to Chicago, one of the reasons I moved to Ukrainian Village was because Feed was right there. Feed and Star Lounge, it was like, this is heaven.
Which is crazy because back then there was nothing around in that area.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there was the nearest restaurant was about a mile away that was,
And I don't think you have a sign in front that says Feed. You have to look for the chicken.
Yeah.
It's a yellow sign with a chicken silhouette, yes.
Yes. That's.
Yeah. And there's a sign now.
It does say Feed now?
Yeah, you just got to look for the corrugated tin roof that's next to the garden, the big giant garden that used to have chickens next door, but I think the chickens are now gone to a different place.
People, do they confuse that garden with you guys?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. We'd get people asking us, those are chickens, and is that what we're serving for breakfast? And I was like, there's only like 50 chickens out there, and there's 50 people in here. There's no way we can get that many eggs.
Yeah. How's the neighborhood changed? I lived there for a long time.
Oh, yeah. It seems like it's changing every 9 months. Back when it first started, you would get some cops in there, just some people working that worked local. And now you're going to get young couples with their children that nobody came in there with kids. Now it's a really kid friendly place. You get a lot of dudes brunching. So that's an
interesting. All those great chicken pictures, chicken motif in the bathroom.
Yeah, we're BYOB, so we get all sorts of 20-30 year olds coming in with their booze and just having a nice relaxed brunch or dinner. And we've had people rolling coolers before.
Really, really.
Oh my god.
Wow. Where are the original owners? They sold and moved.
Donna and Liz. They're out in Albuquerque now.
And talk about the current owners.
Milton and his wife Liliana, lovely couple. They originally were cooks. They've been cooks. They've been there longer than I have. So I think they've been there 12 years. Or Milton has been there 12 years. And when she retired and went out to Albuquerque, she sold it to them.
And now we're going to have some music. Maybe it will have to be after the news. Music with Nora. Yes. And you met Nora there.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, Nora and I served brunch together. And again, like the atmosphere at brunch, everybody that works there, we're like a family. And we really love each other. So you'll see it sometimes when we've had people mention that. Like, we can tell you guys like each other from the busboy, the cooks. We just, every time we come in, we give each other hugs. And we're just really supportive. And that's just a nice... It's a good atmosphere. That's just how Feed is. It's warm and homey, and we really love each other, and we just want to give everybody that food that just makes everybody feel loved and, comforted.
And I think brunch is the only time you do table service. Otherwise, you have to go up to the counter and place
your
order.
Yeah, and it's cash only, too.
It is cash only.
Yeah, it's cash only.
But you've got those cute little, you have a dispensing machine, right?
Oh, that kind of went down. there was a piece of equipment that broke on that, and it's, they don't make that anymore.
It's hard to find somebody
to fix it or replace it. Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We're going to take a break from the news. We're going to come back with some live music after this on WGN.
Heat up the skillet, throw in the pan, all over the land. Oh, family loves shortening bread. I'm crazy about bread. Two little boys laying in bed, one rolled over and the other one said, my mama made shortening bread, always cooking that bread. Ask your mama, ask your pa, what does it take to tear down your walls? They said, make shortening bread, our baby loves bread. My bedroom's like a bird's nest, made of pictures of you, I must confess, and it always smells like shortening bread, always baking that bread. I was in your yard late last night, wishing I could hold you tight. Instead, I made you some shortening bread, came home and baked bread. Beers to get up the nerve to get a little gift you deserve. I made you some shortening bread, I brought you some bread. Two little boys laying in bed, one rolled over and the other one said, my mama made shortening bread, my mama cooked bread. Heat up the skillet, throw in the pan, smell it all over the land. The whole family loves shortening bread, we're cooking that bread.
There you go. That's Matthew Shelton and Nora Barton, Shortening Bread, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on WGN, and we're talking about, we were talking about soul food, now we're kind of going to Southern American food. Nora, I've known you forever from Feed. Hey. I'd go there like three nights a week, wouldn't I, for that chicken.
Yeah, you did.
For the
right before closed.
Yeah.
Y'all cleaned up.
I want to talk about that song. So, Matthew, maybe can you take mic six, the far end? Because I want to know specifically, and then I want to go into some ideas type stuff. Okay. But how did you guys come up with that arrangement? And there's a song everybody knows about. How'd you go in that direction?
I first heard it by Mississippi John Hurt, and I think I was just picking around on a guitar and sort of accidentally found that melody, and it sounded familiar, so I taught myself a cover of the song. And then when I went back and listened to John Hurt's version, I didn't play it right at all. But it still sounded good and it felt good. And the first two verses are the original traditional verses, and then the rest I made my own little story.
Yeah. And how do you incorporate the cello into it?
Well, with Matt's finger-picking style, I try to keep it as simple as possible. Just nice 1/5 chords, a few, not much more than that. And then even the instrumental verse, just nice, like, whole notes.
nice cello layer.
I mean, obviously, we all just heard it, but it brings such an evocative dimension to it. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. It's really, really...
Someone just texted me that it makes it so classy.
So now, in a concept thing, Nora, talk about all the... You've been on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
How many times? We didn't get kicked out of the studio tonight. I love telling that's my favorite big-time radio story. That was New Year's Eve when we got kicked
yes,
out of the studio.
Yes, yeah, like two years ago?
Yeah, but we persevered. But tell the listeners all the different things you're involved in, you and Matthew, and then I want to lead to another question after that.
Okay. The first time we were on, I was on with Billy Howard, a violinist friend of mine, and we did some experimental improvisation, lots of like extended techniques and stuff, and something really different than what you normally have on here, I guess.
Yeah.
Second time was with me and Matt's band, Extraocular.
Yeah.
It's us. Matt plays a Ray Mbira and guitar and some other Zimbabwean Mbiras. Alexis Diasopoulos plays electric guitar. I play cello, and we all use a lot of effects pedals. It makes it real space jammy and stuff. And
the marching band stuff? Talk about other things.
Muka Patsa. I'm in a punk rock marching band called Muka Patsa. We actually played New Year's Eve last night at Lincoln Hall.
How'd that go?
Sold out show. It was a blast.
Was it really?
It was a lot of fun. Currently, our next show is May 3rd, Friday, May 3rd at Martyrs, and we're celebrating International Tuba Day. So, just right. And then I'm also going on tour with Manual Cinema. They're a theater company. They use a lot of shadow puppetry, live actors, graphic artists, combined with live music. Keeps it relatively low-tech, use very simple tools, creates an immersive theatrical setting.
Manual Cinema is great. I was there for a museum. You did like an interactive thing with kids.
Yes, the History Museum. Yeah, that was amazing.
So gorgeous. All these kids got to like do kind of shadow puppets and see how light works and creates different shapes.
That's great. I'm glad that's what you're here because I have no idea what you're talking about. So what is that?
So I'm going on tour with them.
What do they do?
It's a theater company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So they combine shadow puppetry and live music. It's really incredible, very
and dance.
Unique. And dance.
Incredible dancers.
Really so I'm touring with them with their production of End of TV, which showed at the Chopin Theater over the summer. But I'm going to Boston with that in January. And then they are also they're going to be in New York with Frankenstein, which they just closed up at Court Theater at University of Chicago. And that's a behemoth of a production.
Now, this is going to be a stretch, obviously, but for our food angle on this with Catherine and Karen, I mean, and Nora, you worked at Feed. I mean, the gumbo, just putting all kinds of different ingredients into things. There's no one way to do stuff. Can you talk about how the gumbo and music and all the different things she's involved in, how that relates to food and... Or am I just...
No, there's something there. Yeah. Let's see. well, I'm a classically trained musician. I have 2 degrees in cello performance, and yet I find myself playing everything but classical these days. Obviously, it's very handy to have these chops with me, but I find myself just steering farther and farther away from what I studied. But it's also nice to make a living off this stuff, and that's generally where... it comes in handy. I can actually play this instrument and sound really good and get paid decent money for it.
So I mean,
gumbo.
But
sorry.
Feed, just a blending of styles.
It's got a little bit of everything. Sometimes we'll have some different kinds of specials, and some of the specials are so popular they go on the menu permanently, like our chilaquiles. And our we do a black and catfish Benedict. So we're going to get... We do all sorts of kind of fun stuff because it's a scratch kitchen and we make things from scratch. So that's the nice thing about the place. I've been working there for about 10 years and I'm not sick of the food because it's homemade. You can't get sick of homemade food.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say before the break, I've been going there for a long time and the vibe hasn't changed. Has the menu changed at all?
No.
Yeah?
Not really? At all. It's going to be the same boards as when Donna and Liz were there, and same boards now, and we'll just add a few things once in a while, but yeah, it's all the same food.
Because, Matthew, I was going to talk just about how music evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Can menus evolve? I mean...
I guess I'm the opposite of Nora. I came at music pretty ignorant. and I was an artist by trade, if you could call it that. But music was just something to have fun with, and when I was discovering music, I wanted very much to have a punk band and a folk thing and, you know, play free jazz and just... and I wasn't aiming for any kind of technical, or there was nobody there to tell me it was terrible, and it often was. But
you're from Cincinnati, is that right?
Yeah. And I
love this guy. This is the second time we've shared a stage, so to speak.
What was the other time?
We did a Taco Tuesday at the Tonic Room. Yeah. Matthew Shelton opened for us, and man, I love your voice.
Thanks.
I love your finger picking too. I admire it so much.
Did you live in Cincinnati?
No. I just remember that was the connection, and you went to art school there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mid '90s in Cincinnati, where you could live for $150 a month in a big place with enough room to, and so yeah, I did a lot of self-indulgent music recording, and there was just a lot of freeness going on among the people there that did want to do it. There wasn't a very large population of people, but some pretty cool things happen when everybody's broke, but they're able to work part-time and just trying to play every kind of music you can.
And that's how I initially met Matt, was playing on his album back in 2005 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And what album is that?
Cold Water, Hot Blood is the title of it. It's a guitar songs with chamber arrangements. And
my first time in a studio ever.
Really?
Yep.
There's a lot of good music in Cincinnati.
There is.
And there's Skyline Chili.
Everywhere.
Is that Southern right food?
Ooh, no. Yeah.
It's German.
Macedonian influenced food.
Yeah. It's a Greek family that invented it, I thought.
Oh, great.
Okay. I mean, it's Kentucky. Oh, Ohio.
Northern Kentucky.
What brought you to Chicago?
Nora, mostly.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
We met in Cincinnati, and she was in a band of mine. But then she went away to school, and we weren't a couple back then at all. But, yeah, she played on that record before I'd ever met her, actually. The producer had a cellist come in, and I wasn't even there. So I heard her on my music before I ever even met her.
I love the story.
And I cried. I did cry. It was the first time anybody had ever produced something of mine. Like, it was just me with a four track for years, and this dude brought in flutes, and it was, it's still one of my favorite recordings.
What changed for you musically and artistically, maybe not when you moved to Chicago?
I lost any sense of an audience. Well, there's a huge audience here, but suddenly the visual art and things, it's always been a seesaw, and I have a hard time with the idea of taking music too seriously. I've done that, and I don't know, there's not, the reward is in itself, and once I get in a position where I have to make money or have to, I try not to pressure myself with music. Except for when it's healthy and gets me out of the house playing, but it has slowed down a bit since I've been here. But
do you just mean professionally you don't take it seriously, or there's a lightness to some of the music that you make?
I take the music pretty seriously. I work very hard at it. I don't write as much lately as I used to.
I mean, your voice reminds me so much of John Hartford. I'm sure you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of his songs, I think he took his music very seriously, but are lighthearted and funny.
You don't want to
very
be pretentious.
Funny.
Yeah. I take the finger picking and all that seriously as far as the lyrics go. I don't. It's whatever works.
Well, now, Molly, you said you shared you're involved in performance arts here.
I do wacky things all over the place.
And how long you've been on the show for?
I sing, I perform, yeah. I contort my body, I don't know.
And how long have you been in Chicago?
10 years.
Okay, so I'm going to go the same direction. I mean, what do you find the performance scene like here for what you do? And you do, like you said, you do a lot of different things. What was the thing you guys were on before? On that?
It was a Taco Tuesday.
And what is
one
that?
Of the very few. Oh, Tonic Room hosts like a. You can get a bunch of different musicians on stage, and it, you don't make a lot of money, but it's. Just,
it's a great room.
Yeah, it's a nice venue.
Very supportive place.
And they must serve.
And they do free tacos. So that's a good, yeah, that's a good gig. That's
it
one of the best
gig.
Parts of
you
it.
You get fed and you're kind of guaranteed some audience.
And you get to connect with other people that are doing music that interests you. I mean, the part I like about playing music and doing radio and doing podcasts and doing like all these things is every time you network with somebody new, right? You,
yeah.
Like, that's how I met Matt, and this is, like, the greatest surprise of the day.
Well, the show's not over yet.
Oh, my God. But really, I think that's the thing about Chicago is I'm not that worried about drawing an audience for any of the things that I do, but I like to, you know, have fun with it and meet new people.
But the other part about the Chicago situation is there's a lot of competition for people's mm-hmm. time and money and energy. And so you could be doing something that's wonderful that if you went into a smaller environment, you get the large
crowd. It is
crowd.
Hard to get
you
people out.
You come in here and you get a, it's a respectable crowd, but not what you would have gotten in a smaller town environment.
It's very much about who you know. That's true.
Well, I still can't. What were you doing at Taco Tuesday? Were you singing?
Yeah,
dancing?
It's my band Deja Vui.
See, I don't know anybody. Who are they? What are they about?
It's just myself and Kendall Bruns, who I think Matt knew from Cincinnati.
Yeah,
do you know Kendall?
We were classmates in Cincinnati at school.
Oh, wow. Small world.
We mostly played farmers markets and small gigs like the Tonic Room one and would pull things together. We write mostly our own music. He writes a lot about national parks.
Oh, really?
I write about heartbreak in a kind of Americana, like, country waltz style. And, yeah, we haven't played in a while. We haven't had a gig in a while.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we're maybe try to squeeze another song. Okay, so this is great stuff. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we are talking about music and food, and Matthew Shelton is in with Nora Barton.
Yay.
Yeah. It's very good. Yeah. So, Matthew, we were talking during the break.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any radio work? You want to do the last 90 minutes?
It's actually on my list of things to do this year is to put up a demo or whatever it is that gets that ball rolling. And I've been told that for the past 20 years. And 10 years ago, I was thinking about it and talking about it, but then I got distracted.
Ernie, our engineer, he just... 20 yeah. years, he said. It's a great voice.
Thanks. I put up a couple of things on SoundCloud of me reading. I read a Robert Anton Wilson article just because I wanted it to be available as an audiobook and just as a thing to see if I could do it. And people responded well, but I have lots of projects going and it just fell to the wayside. But if I could get paid to just use my God-given whatever this is... that'd be great.
Was there music around the house for you?
Yeah, we all took piano lessons, and I bailed after a year, I think. But my sister has a master's in organ music, so I heard lots and lots of piano, and my dad listened to country music and Bob Dylan and stuff. It was always around.
I like this touch. I think we should do this more often. What's Nora playing?
Oh, yeah.
What's Nora playing there?
I think it's still shaping... Yeah.
Is it kind of an improv thing, or you just...
All
it is All Lang Syne? It's kind of a... Yeah. It's building to All Lang Syne.
It's impressionistic.
So, and do you have any dates coming up?
I'm screening some of my video work at the Hideout on January 22nd, and me and Alexis are going to... The other guy from Extra Ocular, we're going to do some improv, live score, some videos that I've been doing. Digital video work has been my main medium for the past 3 years. It was kind of a a deliberate U-turn in my life. Like, I just started doing that very suddenly, so I've been teaching myself for the past 3 years. And I've been making music videos for people. It's taken off in interesting ways, and it's like a new life in some ways. But I'm still picking guitar and making my old art, but I'm very scattered in some ways. And if I could just add a voiceover career on top of all that, why not?
I'm just letting it breathe. How do you think? What do you think, Molly? Does this sound good?
Oh, I would listen to that station. This is very experimental radio. Absolutely.
Number nine.
So, last question before we break for the news. What you guys do, I mean, I didn't know this thing about the Hideout. Is it, how hard is it to cross over with some of this experimental, progressive stuff?
Chicago is real friendly.
Yeah.
I am amazed at the sizes of audiences I see at, you know, pretty avant-garde music. There's a very healthy support for that here. Yeah, I don't know if it's particular to I've never seen quite so many, such an audience for that kind of music. I've never been particularly drawn towards out there improvisation until Nora and Alexis and I started. It just felt very natural, and it actually sounded good, and I was proud of it. Whereas most improv, I didn't feel that way.
Who approached you for the Hideout?
That particular bill is, it's High Concept Labs, so it's an arts organization that I had a sponsorship with. So it's a particular kind of night. It's not your typical Hideout bill, I guess, if there is such a thing. But it's
yeah. Okay. All right, we got a break for the news. Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew Shelton. Thanks, Nora Barton. And thanks, Karen Meager, for joining us. And we'll be back with more on Nocturnal Journal after this.